Tracy and Legislator Bartels and Ronk are running a little late. So let's call the Ways and Means August 11th, 2020 meeting to order. Do the roll call, please.
Yes. Archer.
Here.
Bartels. Ronk. Gavarez.
Present.
Haynes.
Here.
Mayo. Walter.
Here.
And Donaldson.
And he is here. Okay, thank you. I'd like to take a motion to approve the minutes of the July 14th regular meeting, the July 16th special meeting, the July 21st regular meeting, and the July 29th special meeting.
I'll make that.
I'll second.
And Heidi will second. Okay. Legislator Ronk has asked that we take resolution 191 out of order and wait till he can arrive. So if we're going to ready to go ahead, let's go to resolution 240. And this is requesting the state of New York legislature introduce and the governor sign the amendment to Article 31 of the New York State tax law to permit the county of Ulster to adopt a local law to impose, collect, and retain a tax on real estate transfers. This is Chairman Donaldson.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
For discussion, Chairman Donaldson. Well, I can speak to this while they're working on his, we do have a special meeting set up for this Thursday to have a conversation about this. The meeting where this was brought up, I was not present, but I know that there were a number of concerns or issues that came out of that. And so everybody should have Thursday's meeting on their calendar, and there's some material both from the comptroller's office that we forwarded for discussion. So at this juncture, I'll take a motion to postpone. Second. So Mary Beth, okay, Mary Beth postponed and Eve seconded. All in favor of postponement? Aye. Opposed? So moved. Resolution 267, approving a home rule request for Senate Bill number S8546 and Assembly Bill A 106-16, authorizing the County of Ulster to elect to reopen the provisions of Section 552 of the Retirement and Social Security Law.
I'll move to discuss.
And I'll do we have a second?
Haynes.
Thank you. And does anyone have any questions or concerns regarding this? Mark?
I was told earlier today by the county attorney's office that there's some place where it says that we will be paying immediately or immediate. They wanted us to strike the word immediate because they've been working with the state comptroller and there's a 5-year or a 10-year repayment plan that we would like to be able to possibly use. So I'm trying to find the language. I apologize.
That's okay, I'm looking as well.
It's in the bottom part where it says financial impact.
Oh, it is already.
It's already been taken care of, okay, in this document. It's amended.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions, concerns? Okay, all in favor? Opposed? I see everyone is in favor. Is that correct? There's no opposition? Okay. All right. Resolution number 268, amending the 2020 Ulster County budget to accept an allocation of funds from the Redlich Horowitz Foundation to support home finding activities within the foster care program.
Anyone like to move it? We can hear you.
Welcome.
All right. Yeah, I couldn't get on. My speaker wasn't working, so.
Well, it's working now.
Well, I'm with Jay. I'm on Jay's thing.
Yes, you're listed as Jay, but we know you're Jay, so.
Yes.
Okay. Who would like to move resolution 268?
I'll move it.
Second? Eve, Walter, second. Any questions or concerns? All in favor? Opposed? No opposition. Resolution 269, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a grant application with required assistance assurances for the Medicare Improvements for Patients and Providers Act and amending the 2020 Ulster County budget to include additional funding from New York State Office for the Aging. Move.
Move it.
Second?
Mayo.
Mayo. Okay, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? So move. Resolution 270, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a grant application with required assurances for the New York Connects program with the New York State Office for the Aging. Move.
I'll move it.
Chair Donaldson, second.
Mayo.
Mayo, thank you. All in favor? Opposed? So moved. Resolution 271, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county for T. McElligott. This approves the execution of a contract for the installation of the new HVAC unit in Vandalin Hall.
I'll move it.
Second?
Haynes.
Mayo. Okay, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? So moved. Resolution 272, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into a lease agreement with CPR Associates, LLC for the public defender office space. Move. Chairman Donaldson, second. Eve Walter, any questions? Legislator Gavaris.
Mark, can you or whoever can answer this, what were the other alternatives to this? Because this is a lot of money for a leasing of space. I mean, you're talking about an additional $9,500 a month over the next 5 years. That seems like a lot for rental of office space.
So part of it is an increase in the actual, just the square foot cost going from 14 to about 1750. And this is similar to the Board of Elections lease where they wanted to start even higher than that. But another piece of this is that this is allowing us to expand to, because of Harold Herring settlement, we're going to be adding positions in the public defender's office. And this expands the footprint of the office. It's completely covered by a grant. If we were to locate that office elsewhere, we would lose some state funding because we receive state funding by basically moving it across the street from the courthouse, which ILS decided, you know, that's an improvement to the public defender's office because it's in close proximity to the courthouse. So if we were to move it away to a location that's, I mean, you can't get closer to the courthouse really than that spot. So if we were to move it further away, we would lose funding as well. So I get that this is an expensive lease. There's a $24,000 payment upfront that has to do with the work to renovate the current space into what we need to expand. But looking at, you know, what was available, Public Works and the Public Defender's Office felt this was the best case scenario.
How much is that money that we get for this?
I believe the increase from both the expansion and The increase in dollars is completely offset.
You mentioned state funding. You mentioned we get money for being so close to the courthouse. How much is that?
Yeah, I don't have that exact amount. I know that the amount over what we were paying is completely covered by the state. I can ask John. John, unfortunately, is away today. If you feel like that's a question you want to answer, you could postpone this till next Tuesday's Ways and Means meeting, but I don't have that exact number, although let me see if it's at the bottom.
Yeah, not. I mean, I don't know City of Kingston rental, lease prices, but boy, oh boy, I mean, that just seems like a lot of money for office space. I mean, you can get the same amount of space here for literally probably a quarter or a fifth of that amount. It seems, $9,500 a month for the next 5 years. That includes the cost that you mentioned of the renovation. It's a lot of money.
Kingston is a different market, John. That is.
Oh, I understand that, but the city of Kingston does have a bus system that doesn't limit transportation like my area does. Mm-hmm. Moving it a little further away, if there isn't a significant money coming from the state, might not be a bad idea to look at.
Legislator Mayo?
If we can't get our questions answered, I am not comfortable with this. So if you want to postpone it, or else I'm going to be a no, because I cannot in good conscience do $9,500. That just sounds completely absurd right now.
Legislator Walter.
So, typically I'm pretty fiscally conservative, but, in this particular case, this is money that's coming from ILS. And I was in the room with them when they identified that the move in the first place was matched the purpose of the Harrell Herring grant and that they would cover it. And so I feel pretty confident that this, not only is it the location being close to the court, but the Harrell Herring is to increase the number of public defenders so that more people have access. And this will allow for the hiring of new public defenders to have office space. So I feel pretty, really, really comfortable without even knowing the amount that, and again, I was in the room and so were a couple of others, where ILS said, this is the kind of thing we cover. And it didn't matter without a ceiling. But this fell into what they cover.
Okay, so I think what would be helpful is, Mark, if we can get the square footage, the increase in square footage. And what I thought I heard, and I need confirmation on, is that net we're paying the same amount. Anything over is covered by Harrell Herring. If that's not the case, we just need to get a clarification on that.
So I'm sorry, I was on the phone with Deputy Milgram, and he says the entire cost of this lease, and I think there's even a whereas that says it, is offset by the Harrell Herring grant. So it's covered by the state grant, 100% of the cost of the lease, not the expansion or the improvement, but the overall cost.
I'm just pulling up the resolution. Sorry.
Yep. Lynn?
Chairman Donaldson, yes.
Yes, I concur with what Eve said, because I was in the room also when we had that discussion. Actually, I wasn't in the room. I was in the video right behind the room and watched the entire room. It was actually one of the best Skype ins I've ever had, because I was on a big TV right in the library. So I saw everybody's actions and I saw the information that was going through. And I have the exact same understanding that Eve has, in that that would be totally covered. It's the purpose of it is to get better service. And the mindset is being that close creates better service, because they can meet with their client and then walk across the street and go right into the court. And that's part of the court ruling that created these grants.
I just want to clarify one piece. The prior lease and a big portion of this lease is covered by the state under the formula grants, the various different distributions. Any addition or expansion or increased cost is covered under Harrell Herring. So it's 100% state funded, but in one aspect, it's from our regular state funding, and the expansion is the Harrell Herring. So there is no county cost.
Okay.
That's not what it says in the resolution.
I have a question.
Yes, Legislator Haynes.
Who owns this building? Who is CPR LLC?
They just recently bought it from Ulster Savings Bank within the last year.
And we never used this building before?
No, we've been in this building. We moved off of Golden Hill probably within the last 4 or 5 years.
So CPR LLC, nobody's familiar with who they are?
They're an LLC that just bought, you know. I don't know who the owner is.
Who was the former owner?
Ulster Savings Bank.
Is this upstairs?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Has everyone's concerns been satisfied and questions been answered? Legislator Guevaras.
As long as I just want to reiterate again, so I'm hearing Deputy Executive Ryder correctly, it's 100% covered except for the renovation cost of $24,000 and change. We don't pay for anything, including the existing lease, plus now the new additional expense that's all covered in some way, shape, or form for the next 5 years by somebody else other than us. Is that correct?
Yes. Through the regular... The regular state funding process for distribution funds from the state, they have distribution funds 1 through 8. That covers the regular lease portion. The expansion is covered by the Harrell Herring settlement.
Okay, if that's the case, then I'm fine.
Legislator Haynes?
Hate to have to go here. However, in the climate that we have right now with grants drying up, are we secure in this thing?
Yes, they've reviewed.
Way, are we on the hook for this money?
The Harrell Herring settlement is a court settlement. It's not a grant. So,
that's true. Yeah.
Legislator Mayo.
It's still a little concerning because you know what? It's all good till it's not good. You know, the money's there until it's not there. And, you know, $9,500, I mean, who negotiated that? I don't know, I have to think about it. Thank you, though.
Okay, all in favor of Resolution 272? Opposed? So, Legislator Mayo is opposed. Thank you. Resolution 273, amending the 2020 Ulster County budget, CHIPS, Pave New York, Extreme Winter Recovery Funding Adjustment. Move. Legislator Walter, second. May I have a second? Legislator Mayo, any questions? All in favor? Opposed?
I think Jay had a question.
I just want to know if you can hear me.
I can hear you fine. Are you
going to
switch
all.
Seats now? Are you going to switch seats with the chairman? Okay. So did we vote on this? All in favor? Opposed? Okay. Thank you. Resolution 274, authorizing the required steps for the transfer of real property owned by Ulster County and located on Golden Hill, City of Kingston, to the Ulster County Housing Development Corp.
Move it.
Second, Haynes.
Haynes. Any questions? Concerns? Okay, all in favor? Opposed?
I'm going to be abstaining for purposes of employment.
We have one abstention. All the rest are in favor of. Thank you. Resolution 275, authorizing the chair of Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the town of Shandaken for the direct invoicing of bus fares for the Shandaken Summer Day Camp students.
Lynn?
Yes, Chairman Donaldson.
I'm sorry, I was switching over to the back to where my spot was. And on 274, can Evelyn answer where the LLC, the forming of that is, and where, you know, where that process is at this point?
Yeah, sure. So the LDC has been incorporated. The incorporation papers have been filed with the state. There's several additional filings to make in terms of tax exempt status and getting a federal EIN. That paperwork is all underway. And Kayleen should be reaching out, Dave, to you and Ken very shortly to schedule the organizational meeting. So summary, the corporation is formed and now it's getting the board in place, accepting the bylaws, you know, all the governance policies and everything. But we're basically ready to go.
Very good, thank you.
Okay, back to resolution 275. Did we move it? Amber, Natalie? We did. I cannot hear you, Natalie.
I'll move it.
I don't think we have
a second. Legislator Walter, any questions on this? All in favor? Opposed? No opposition. Okay. Resolution 276, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to transfer title of an Ulster County Sheriff's Office dive van to the Greene County Sheriff's Office.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Okay, as it was amended in law enforcement, all in favor? Oh, yes. Legislator Gavaris.
Has anybody seen if any agency, fire or EMS, would have wanted it in Ulster County? I'm going to assume that the answer is no. And the reason I say that is because the Ellenville Rescue Squad, which I'm a member of, was never asked about this. And we have a dive team that we've been trying to work with the Sheriff's Department with, and we probably would have taken this vehicle if it was offered. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, my Chairman Donaldson.
I believe that part of that was because the sheriff has had an agreement with Greene County and other aspects. So I think there's some type of other sharing that's going on besides this. But we can certainly ask the sheriff if you want to postpone and ask.
Yeah, I'm either in favor of postponing or I'm going to vote no. Which way
would you like to make a motion to postpone?
Make a motion to postpone.
Second. We have a second. Legislator Walter, all in favor of postponement till next week? Opposed? So moved. Okay, and you'll follow up with the sheriff on this, Legislator Gavaris? Great. Resolution 278, amending Resolution 286 of 1968, adopted in February 13th of 1969, imposing taxes on sales and uses of tangible personal property and of certain services and on occupancy of hotel rooms and on amusement charges, pursuant to Article 29 of the Tax Law of the State of New York, as amended on various occasions to increase the rate of sales and compensating use taxes.
I'll move it.
Second. All in favor? Opposed? Okay, so moved. Resolution 279, authorizing the issuance pursuant to Section 90 and/or Section 90.10 of the local finance law of refunding bonds of the County of Ulster, New York, to be designated substantially public improvement refunding serial bonds and providing for other matters in relation thereto and the payment of the bonds to be refunded thereby. I believe you all received a copy of the letter from the Commissioner of Finance explaining that this resolution authorizes the refunding of bonds and will save us an estimated 130,000. So any other questions on this? All in favor?
I'll second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Moved by the chairman, second by Walter. All in favor? Opposed? Okay, so moved. Resolution 280, amending the 2020 Ulster County budget, transferring conflict defender administration position from public defender's office to the Department of Finance. Move.
I'll move it.
Legislator Walters, is that who moved it?
Yeah.
Second? Second? Legislator Gavaris. Okay. Any other questions on this? All in favor? Opposed? So moved. Resolution 281, rescinding resolutions 167 of April 28, 2020, which authorized the conveyance of a county-owned properties to the original owners. Move. Legislator Mayo, seconded by?
Seconded.
Chairman Donaldson. Any questions on this? All in favor? Opposed? So moved. Resolution 282, authorizing the conveyance of county-owned properties to the original owners. Move.
Move it.
Seconded by Legislator Mayo. All in favor? Opposed? So moved. Resolution 283, authorizing the conveyance of Nope. 283, authorizing the conveyance of county-owned properties to the original owner.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Okay, so move. Resolution 285, adopting the proposed local law number 7 of 2020. A local law amending the code of the County of Ulster in relation to local law number 5 of 1991. A local law adopting a hotel motel occupancy tax to clarify the tax laws, application of short term and vacation rentals.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Any questions? Mark?
I just, back in July, the county attorney had sent both legislative council and minority council a memo in reference to this resolution. I just want to make sure that it made its way to this committee. The executive's office still has concerns. We agree with you in the substance of this local law. In fact, I mean, Evelyn can speak to where we are with, you know, the Airbnb negotiations. We just feel like if this can't be tweaked to say, you know, we'll negotiate a contract or we'll sign a contract that's acceptable to the county attorney, something, we believe that this language requires us to sign any contract put in front of us.
Is there an attorney here from our side? Chris?
Chris?
I'll just add while you're looking. From the clerk was that because it had been approved by public hearing, that would consider a substantial change. And the Chris had informed me that he did not feel that it was necessary. I was concerned about the fact that it had already been approved by public hearing, and so the change hadn't been made. the decision was to not change, make the change.
So I'm sorry, it's a substantive change just to require that whatever form of an agreement would be acceptable to the county attorney. That's substantive.
It was, well, I don't know, Vicki, do you want to speak to or not?
No, what we talked about was not what Mark's saying.
No, it was a shall, a will versus to a may.
Yeah.
We never got that sentence that you said, Mark.
Okay.
We got a may, changing the shall to a may.
Which we've done, correct?
No.
No.
We're keeping it as a shall.
I think Chris is trying to weigh in, but he's having trouble.
Having a hard time.
He's on mute. It might be that.
Jay, can you unmute him?
There. Try now, oh, Chris.
Thank
you. There you go, Chris.
Can everybody hear me okay?
And Jay,
yes, thank
Jay
you.
Didn't want you to talk. She was afraid what you were going to say, I guess.
Sorry, I'm in my car. No, Mark, first off, I did get the memo. Thank you very much to you and the county attorney for forwarding it to us. I certainly appreciate the memo. I actually don't feel that the current language would inhibit the county attorney's ability to negotiate an agreement. Specifically, there's no deadline by which the county attorney has to execute a document. Obviously, negotiations are ongoing. Law as it presently stands simply requires that a document get executed, obviously, upon the completion of a successful negotiation. There's no hard and fast turnaround time here. So, I mean, while I understand the argument that you feel like it may box you in a little bit, I just don't happen to see it that way. With respect to the substantive versus unsubstantive changes, obviously, it would be potentially a significant change. I don't know if it would require another public hearing per se, but I think it would be close enough to where we'd really have to think hard about changing it at this point.
Evelyn?
Yeah, just to chime in here, as Mark alluded to, as of this morning, the county attorney's office has reviewed the latest language we've gotten back from Airbnb, and we have reached agreement with them on all of the points that we were negotiating with them. So we are ready to enter into an agreement with them. And
great.
So I just want everybody to know that the primary policy objective here, which was to get into an agreement with the company that's doing the majority of our hosting, is on the brink of being achieved. And we share with you, as Mark said, that goal of maximizing the revenue collection while assuring that we still have transparency, that we can keep our registration process and so on. We are really concerned that the language in here could be very dangerous because it does not specify what Chris just said, that we will enter into a contract subject to a successful negotiation process. And, you know, there are several other companies in this space. There could be new entrants any day. And we don't want to get into a situation down the road where a different legislature and a different set of attorneys who weren't part of this conversation that we're having right now says, you know, and we have some kind of unsuccessful negotiation process, you know, says, well, look, you got to enter into a contract, get on it. And we could have a company come forward with all kinds of terms that we would consider unacceptable, including charging us a fee for doing this or having non-compete clauses or any number of things. And we just think it's too important to leave up to interpretation and what the people on this call think is obvious today, but is going unstated.
Legislative Walter and then Chairman Donaldson. I'm sorry, Chris, one second here.
So, So I again, I would agree with what the council had said. This is not, we're not approving an actual contract. And at that point, we would have the opportunity to chime in related to that. This is to, you know, go forward with these contracts. So I feel pretty comfortable with the wording as it is in that light.
Chairman Donaldson.
Yes, and not only that, but the executive has to negotiate contracts with the various unions. That is part of the, regardless, he has to negotiate them, but that doesn't mean he has to accept anything that a union needs. They still have to negotiate, and this is the same mindset. They're going to negotiate, and they're going to come up with the best for what is best for the county. And if they don't, we as a body can reject it. So I don't think there's a problem here. I'll agree with our attorney on that.
Christy, you have something you want to add?
No, that's okay.
Thank you. I'd like the record to show that both Legislator Ronk and Legislator Bartels have joined the meeting. For your benefit, we're on Resolution 285. And Legislator Ronk, did you have something you wanted to add? You're on mute.
It's wise sometimes in these meetings. I do have some things I'd like to add, and I know that my minority counsel, Nick Pascal, is on the line as well. I have a concern about the legality of this, the same way I've had concern about the legality of every one of these laws that intends to amend our bed tax for short-term rentals since I joined the legislature. And back several years ago, when former Chairman John Parity put one of these in, the county attorney as well as all legislative counsel had said that it's impermissible. And in follow-up ones, Legislator Joe Maloney and others have sponsored resolutions purporting to do what this law is doing. And as far as either Council Pascal or I are aware, nothing has changed legally to allow this to move forward. So this would just be, as far as I see, the will of the legislature would be to choose to ignore the law rather than abide by it and change it in the right manner. The proper manner for us to change our occupancy tax to allow for this is by home rule, which I attempted to do several years ago, which was blocked by the New York City Hotel Trades Council, their lobbyist up in Albany, through the majority councils in both the Senate and Assembly. So I want to air those concerns. I'll be voting no on it tonight for those reasons. If we can find a way to do it legally that satisfies both myself and my attorney, I'm all in favor of entering into these agreements and amending our bed tax to allow for it. But until then, it's, even if 20 other counties do it, it's still illegal.
Chairman Donaldson?
What you're saying is also the negotiations by the county executive are also illegal, then. Is that correct, Ken?
Yes, absolutely. I find fault with both halves of it. If we weren't doing all this remote stuff, I would have already been walking down to the fifth floor asking the county attorney's office exactly what state law has changed that allows this, because we've got opinions from B. Hivranek and Mark Longtoe, previous county's attorney, that say that this is impermissible, and all of a sudden it's permissible. So I think that both from a legislative point of view and from the executive's point of view, somebody in order to get my vote on this, somebody needs to tell me what's changed to allow it.
I'll just say Walter.
Thank you. So I'm not sure exactly the timing. There is added information included with this resolution from County Council, basically providing the language from the state saying that an entity that collects the tax is entitled to provide the payment of the tax. There was also a lawsuit against mm-hmm. Expedia that was lost that was cited by County Council. And so I just want to make sure people note that there is that information. I had known about it before when it was time for public hearing, but I didn't have it in writing from County Council. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone sees that it's included in there.
Legislator Rock.
Thanks. Yeah, I believe myself and Legislative Council reviewed that. Minority Council. Nick, if you could just confirm that.
I guess there were two observations we made, and one was on the use of the mandatory, you know, shall sign versus may sign, which I think the county attorney continues to have an objection to. If they don't, then that's old news. The other discussion I had with them concerned the Expedia case. We have a difference of opinion on it. The Expedia case relates to an attempt by New York City to impose a tax on a service fee that Expedia was charging for booking through its platforms. And the Court of Appeals found in favor of New York City and said, you can go ahead and tax Expedia. I won't go into all the reasoning, but my take on that case, which was decided before B and others weighed in on the illegality or putative illegality of this measure, that really doesn't apply because New York City has different taxing authority than Ulster County has. It's the city's authority is concomitant with that of the state. And frankly, Expedia was acting in a way with regard to service fees that it was charging in a way that Airbnb is not acting with respect to the collection of rent charges. So I think the county attorney has an argument and is prepared to make the argument. If the county is sued, ultimately, they'll go ahead and try to make new law. I don't think it's been conclusively determined one way or the other. So my take on it is all the Expedia case provides is an argument in an appellate brief or a defense brief that the county attorney will certainly make and may be successful, may not be. I just don't agree with their construction of that case.
Legislative Council?
Sure. And I certainly appreciate Minority Council's interpretation of that case. I happen to have reviewed that case as well. And I agree with our county attorney's position. I rarely do we find a case that is 100% analogous, but in the Expedia matter, I feel like there is certainly enough guidance provided by the Court of Appeals to leave us on sure footing here.
Legislative Walter.
I'll just say, and I'm not sure if Republican Council had read and you know, you may very well have, but, you know, I read extensively what the state guidance is and how they reference it. And the relevance of the Expedia is the idea of the law that says that if an entity is collecting this tax, then they can be requested to pay it. And there's, I feel like it's been clearly articulated. So again, I feel very comfortable with the county council's interpretation, as well sure, as all I, the other counties that have interpreted in that way.
Yeah, sure. I could just very briefly just speak to that, is that the fee that Expedia was charging was its fee. It was charging a service charge, not rent. So the city was entitled to tax the service charges that Expedia was entitled to collect. Airbnb is not entitled to collect rent. The owner-operator is. And you are charging your hotel motel tax on the occupancy, on the rent. So I think it is analogous, perhaps, but it's a stretch. All it is an argument. It's certainly not dispositive, and I'm not aware of any precedent that authorizes what's being done here. So I guess I would just leave it at that, and certainly reasonable minds can disagree.
Chairman Donaldson?
Yes. I mean, as we know, we live in America. You can be sued for anything at any time by anyone. Doesn't mean you win. Doesn't mean you lose. It means you can do that. So we have 20 other counties that are doing the exact same thing. And I think that our argument is strong enough that we will prevail. I doubt very much that it'll come up and throw all these others out. But can it happen? Obviously it can. I think we've talked about it. I wouldn't mind having a vote.
Legislator Bronk.
Thank you. Just a minor, I guess, closing statement on my end, and that's dangerous for me to say, as you all know. But uh, I I'm aware, thank you, Chairman Donaldson, for reminding me that you can sue anybody from any time. In fact, you sued me one time, and I just so happened to be successful.
Stay on point, please. Let's stay on point.
If he can talk about you can sue anybody for anything, I can point out that he sued me over language in a referendum, and I won. I feel like that's on the point, Legislator Archer.
that was sad, though, that you did win. You know that, right?
That is what it is. I feel like it is on the point because I was going to say that, you go in with a good argument if you're going to, if you're going to get hit with a lawsuit. And I don't believe the county has a good argument here. To Legislator Walter's point, yes, the state has guidance on this, but we also have authorization to levy an occupancy tax that is approved by the state of New York that, according to all of the attorneys, including at that time legislative minority counsel Ragucci, who is now legislative counsel Ragucci, that said that, it is impermissible for us to collect bed tax from a third party vendor under our occupancy tax authority. So we would be ignoring, by passing this, we would be ignoring our occupancy tax authority. And while a quick, influx, or what we see, or what some may see as a quick influx of cash to the county might be nice, I also believe that it's going to hurt the, resorts in the county who have all, the Lodging Coalition has all come out in opposition to this. The Town Supervisors Association has come out in opposition to this. So when the stakeholders are coming out and saying, we're not in favor of this, I don't understand why we're rushing to move forward on it.
Deputy Exec Ryder.
I just want to bring up one last point, which is in the county attorney's memo, which hasn't been brought up to date. But the fact that it's in their last paragraph, they raised the issue that they believe that this should have been done with a mandatory referendum, which it's not, because they believe it's taking a power from the county executive by requiring a contract to be signed.
Okay, on the resolution, all in favor? Opposed?
Opposed.
We have Ronk, Mayo, and Haynes opposed. Guevara, are you for? Yes, okay. All right, resolution, I think we passed that, correct? Yes. Resolution 287, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with Hudson Valley Fire and Safety. This approves the execution of that contract from August 20th through December 2020 and provides the install for the Mako Cascade air tank filling equipment.
I'll move it.
Second. Chairman Donaldson, any questions on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so move. Resolution 288, approving the execution of contract amendment causing the aggregate contract plus amendment to be in excess of 50 entered into by the county with Alindus Inc. This is the Cherwell incident request software maintenance support. Move.
Moved by Ronk.
Ronk seconded. Chairman Donaldson. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 289, approving a contract amendment in excess of 50 with Geoa and Brett Inc. Move.
Move it.
Chairman Donaldson, second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So move. Resolution 290, bless you.
Sorry.
Approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into the county with United Way of Ulster County.
Move. This is Bartels.
Second.
Ronk. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 291, approving a contract in excess of 50 with Barton and LaJudas for the UND corridor between High Mount and Big Indian.
Move, Bartels.
Second?
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. So moved. 292, approving the execution of a contract in excess of 50 with Endemia Identity and Security USA. This is for the card scan. Who moved it, Tracy?
I didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. I heard somebody say it. I didn't see
it. I moved it.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Chairman Donaldson, second. Heidi Haynes. Any questions on this? All in favor?
Wait, can opposed? I'm sorry, yep. I have another question. Have you ever come down, we concluded that, and I guess this question is for Mark or Evelyn, did we conclude that the wording of this protects us if the money doesn't come through?
Was it this?
This is, we're on the live boat.
Scan? The live scan.
Oh, we're sorry, I we're got the wrong one. Sorry.
Okay.
Pay no attention.
Okay, so all in favor of the live scan resolution, 292.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, so move. 293, approving the execution of a contract in excess of 50. This is the William E. This is the one you're concerned about.
I'll move
William
for discussion.
E. Munson. Moved?
Second.
Okay.
So now I have my question.
Now you have your question. Okay, Legislator Walter.
So I don't know. So Mark, do you feel comfortable?
I was not in law enforcement. I don't know. Was this not raised to the sheriff?
It wasn't the sheriff so much. It was the wording of the contract, just confirmation that you all feel comfortable that the contract's worded in a way that if for some reason federal or state money didn't happen, we wouldn't be owing all of this to the... I think it went back and forth.
John was going to have the attorney, county attorney, take a look at just to make sure the language protected us.
I don't know if that's happened yet. My suggestion would be that this gets postponed for a week to make sure that can happen.
I'll move to postpone it a week.
Okay. Second, Legislative Walter. Okay, all in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 294, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 with Liberty Resources. This is to extend the term of the agreement, increase funding for PINS case management.
Second?
Second.
Second.
Legislative Runk. Any questions? All in favor? Opposed? So move. Resolution 295, approving the execution of contract in excess of 50 with Health Research Inc. This is providing a contract with Health to provide new hire personnel to increase capacity for COVID case investigation and contact tracing.
Move it.
Second.
Any questions?
Can I just real quick give a real quick summary? So this is basically CARES funding that's being funneled through the state to Health Research Inc. and will go to our health department. The $1 million is a placeholder in case there's future federal funding. $477,000 will be available over the next 2 years to hire 3 additional public health staff. And when that funding goes away, those positions will go away, but they will focus on COVID case investigations and contact tracing.
Any other questions? All in favor of the resolution?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Okay. Mark, maybe you could help us with this. Today, we had a deliverable from you all regarding Tech City and an update on spending and contracts for Tech City as per the resolution that we passed last month.
Yeah, I'll send something tomorrow. I don't believe since the last memo that I sent to Legislator Bartels, I guess I sent to all of you, I don't believe we've spent any additional spending there at the building, but I will follow up with buildings and grounds.
Yeah, so even if not, then if you could at least, through notification, let us know nothing new this month, et cetera, that would be helpful. Chairman Donaldson?
Yes, and also the update on what actually was spent for the fireworks and along with the
movie night. Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Anybody else have anything new or old business?
Were we going to do resolution 191?
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Yes. We deferred it till you were here.
I thoroughly appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay, resolution 191, Legislator Ronkas moved, second. Legislator Mayo, Legislator Ronk.
I think we've talked about it a bunch of times. I would love to have some debate on it. Some things have been changed, and actually, I would like to discuss a amendment that I have. I spoke to Laura about earlier. I think it came out of Legislator Walters. I think Laura had amended it to include something that Legislator Walter had suggested that I don't necessarily agree with, so I'd like to discuss it, which was adding the Legislative Programs Committee to the list of committees that handle the... It may not have. I was talking to Nick about it earlier. I see Eve shaking your head.
I didn't specify. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Why don't we all go to the backup? So if you could highlight for us, Legislator Ronk, where you're proposing to make a change.
I will. I'm just trying in the OneDrive. I'm trying to open it. Stand by. I apologize for my lateness. It's caused me to be slightly unprepared.
I don't have a copy of that in front of me.
Jay, can we get a copy? I don't see Jay. Can we get a copy, Natalie or Amber, of that piece on the screen?
I'm pulling it up. It's in the resolutions, Dave.
It's the first one. 191 is the backup.
Yeah, I don't have them in front of me on the computer here.
Okay. So
maybe I can get a copy from Jay.
And again, we don't...
Jay or Vicky, can you run me off a quick copy of that? Thank you.
It's in 5.3. Non-county contract agencies requesting funding may be subject to a periodic program evaluation by the Ways and Means Committee and or the Legislative Programs, Education, Community Services Committee of the Legislature on such terms. And now it's gone because...
Oh, here it is.
So Mark, just to clarify, I never... I do have a comment on 5.3, but it was not... It had no specification of programs. I was just... And I think you addressed it. I was... concerned about, that it sounded before like it was going to require program evaluation at a high level, which can be very expensive, and were we going to cover the cost of that? And I think that, I don't know how it is, but I just wanted to make sure it didn't sound like we were expecting this high level of evaluation from all of them, because that's costly. But the other part, I had no comment about.
All right. I mean, if somebody has a better way to word it that would potentially eliminate the potential cost of that, then I've got no opposition to it. I don't know how to change it unless
The comment I had, sorry, is that there was the Schedule A where we provide the deliverables, and yep. that would just requiring that we get the deliverables that are outlined in their Schedule A's, would that potentially be sufficient? Because they're slightly tweaked according to each one, and that those are what we would expect to get from them, and that maybe we could just articulate that that we would want those Schedule A scope and work outcomes.
Okay.
So the only thing that and correct me if I'm wrong here, Amber and Natalie, is the component here. So your objection is to the 5.3.1, 5.3.2? Legislator Walter?
I was concerned about the suggestion that this was expecting a very comprehensive evaluation, which could be very, very expensive, and at the same time suggesting if we have this system of having a Schedule A of deliverables, which are slightly different for each one, but where we are really working on trying to, you know, make sure there's a solid Schedule A, why not just articulate that that's what we're looking for?
I mean, I'm fine with that. It does say program evaluations can include, but are not limited to, the following items. So it wouldn't necessarily include all of the items on there, but.
Maybe we should add one that says, you know, according to each contract Schedule A. Maybe we make a reference to Schedule A, so that would address the differences.
So then program evaluations can include, but are not limited to, the following items subject to each organization's Schedule A.
Yeah.
I move we make that amendment right now and remove the Legislative Programs, Education, Community Services Committee. Because to me, the whole point of this is to streamline the process and make it more fiscally responsible. To me, that's my reason for doing this, so.
And I just add, you know, and that we can be cognizant of the fact that we don't always ask for some of these things like cost benefit analysis in our Schedule A, and we can think about for each one as they come up,
yep,
what we really want to get from them.
I think it's a good change.
Did somebody capture that? Hopefully Natalie or Amber. I cannot see anybody if you're shaking your head. So
if
you could verbally respond.
I'll just repeat it.
Thank you.
After the word items at the bottom of that page, not at the bottom, but at the last paragraph before 5.3.1, et cetera, it should read subject to each organization's Schedule A.
Oh, perfect. She's doing that right online there. Okay.
I propose that amendment.
I'll second it, Mayo.
Now, how does this change dealing with the legislative programs overseeing these programs?
I believe that they would still oversee the contracts. I believe that that would still happen. This is just where it comes to periodic program evaluation.
So you still envision that legislative programs would be reviewing all of these as people are bringing them forth?
They would come before budget time. They would come to Ways and Means.
Okay.
The Ways and Means Committee, since we're the committee that does the budget anyway, you know, the Ways and Means Committee would be getting the requests. And then I would think that the next year, I mean, the clerk can jump in if she has a different vision, because technically under our rules, the clerk routes resolutions. But a lot of these would be under Legislative Programs Committee as a committee of original jurisdiction, except wherein they wouldn't, such as fire training money or things like that would most likely be before the Law Enforcement Committee or... So it's going to I think it's going to change things slightly, but I wouldn't say that legislative programs is losing all of their oversight of the contracts, Dave, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, right now, legislative programs recommends various programs, and then they don't just they're not just blanketly accepted. Finance, Ways and Means has always looked at that.
Yeah, but usually the process happens in October, and Ways and Means gets them at the budget appeals process, which becomes a marathon four-hour meeting where we need to decide if we're going to give more money to the arts, and if we're going to give more money to CASA, and if we're going to give more money to these things, and then they get amended on the floor anyway. I've felt for a long time like we need to have earlier thought and more fiscally related thought to the programs that we're funding.
So I'm just looking to see in here if we, oh, I see you did put a July 15th. Okay, I missed that. So which means that each of the various, whether it's coming out of law enforcement or coming out of legislative programs mm-hmm. as a recommendation, it all has to be done prior to the budget cycle.
Yep.
Legislative Walters.
Just two other elements for discussion, if possible. One is 3-3. I just wanted a conversation about the idea that I understand the intent of that they should be programs that have been operating for at least 2 years. However, sometimes there are emerging things. And so I think of some of the programs that have been formed to respond to opioid addiction that may not have had 2 years that they've been here, but might be something we'd want to support. And so I guess that was, you know, I'm not like stuck on this, but I just wanted as a conversation. I have another one, but I'll start with this one.
Legislator Ronk.
I would say that the catch-all to that is that this is a policy the legislature is creating for itself, and in extraordinary circumstances, it could be ignored.
Okay.
So that's, I think as a best practice, 2 years in operation is a good best practice to have. And then if something comes along that, you know, is beyond the norm, I think that the legislature could appropriate whatever it wants in the budget.
Legislator Bartels.
I think.
Sorry, I was having a problem unmuting. Yeah, I don't love the idea of creating a policy with the intention of potentially ignoring it.
I did not say that was with the intention of ignoring it. So I'd appreciate it if you'd not characterize it in that manner.
Okay, but I don't like the idea of creating a policy with the possibility of ignoring it. I mean, you said the legislature could always ignore it, and I don't love.
I mean, the
that
legislature
idea.
Can ignore any policy we pass. So then perhaps you don't want to pass any policies.
All right.
That's a ridiculous argument. And can I finish my comment without having an answer?
This is about just getting clarity, and it's for discussion. So let's keep it civil. And the reality is, if in fact, maybe we add something here that basically says, if the program is a new offering, it could be considered. Because we all go back to language that's in a resolution and mm-hmm. use it as the guidance for what we can and can't do. So that's the point of having a conversation about what people are comfortable with and not. Chairman Donaldson.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled with that either. I mean, I don't think that should be in there. Or if you want to like make a suggestion type of thing that... that considerations for that type of, at least 2 years, but not a catch-all the way it does, the way it says here, that means you can't do anything. Well, then let's ignore the policy, or then we'd have to have another resolution to appeal it or to change it. And, you're creating a problem you don't need to create. I mean, I think the easiest way is either reword this, and you might be able to say preferences for those people, maybe for having at least 2 years, something of that nature might make sense if you want to do that. But I don't think saying must have been in for the past 2 years.
Legislator Ronk.
I apologize, Legislator Bartels, but you were characterizing my comments, and I don't appreciate it. I apologize for cutting you off, but I wanted to make sure these are being recorded, and I don't want anyone to think that my intention is to pass this this policy with the intention of it being ignored. That's an incorrect statement. I think that many times we pass resolutions and local laws as a best practice and a best policy. And of course, you're never going to think of every eventuality. You know, I know that when we passed a plastic bag law and we passed a straw law and we passed a styrofoam law, you know, all those laws were like, well, we don't expect this to be enforced. We just expect people to do the right thing. You know, we aren't going to have the bag police. We aren't going to have the straw police. These are all things that were said at legislative meetings regarding local laws where we're creating fines and penalties. Here we are. I think that 2 years in operation is a good best practice. If we want to say it's a best practice to have 2 years in operation, then that's fine. But that's not a policy. It's for show. I don't do things for show.
Legislative Bartels.
I mean, I think it's a smart idea to say that we shall, you know, there shall be preference giving to those with 2 years or however you want it, whatever Legislator Donaldson just said, something that would acknowledge that we prefer experience but allow for an exception without ignoring the policy. That's what I would prefer to see.
That's not a policy.
Legislator Haynes?
Yeah, I think that my biggest concern with these organizations and agencies is that if they don't have some form of their own self-funding mechanism, and how would you be self-funding if you've been in operation or existence for less than a year or so? I think that it's only fair that they have some type of their own self-funding mechanism in place before they come to the legislature for extra, you know, funding or help. That's my point.
Legislator Bartels.
I mean, just with all due respect to that, Legislator Haynes, you could have a startup organization that's funded with $50 million the first year, I mean, with outside funding. So you could very well have a very well-funded organization that's a new organization. And I think that's you know, potentially the concern originally raised by Legislator Walter, that there may be these innovative organizations that are new, but are worthy of trying. And we kind of box ourselves into a corner with that 3-3.
Yeah, and conversely, you can have a new organization that doesn't have any funding that is solely relying on the county for the funding of the organization. I've basically seen that happen.
The county does not fund startups. So if they're not coming to the table with some funding already, to the point everybody's making, I think that's the whole point. We don't want to fund startups. We want to have some...
Well, sometimes you may want to fund a startup. You don't know. I mean, what it, you may have a startup that makes sense to fund. I don't know. I mean, you know, particularly with the light of COVID and all these other things that we've been running through. So now my mindset is I really think you should make it a preference, but not a concrete stand. And this is a concrete stand that you're taking.
So changing must to prefer will get us the same thing. Legislator Ron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that we're running up on our public hearings, so we should probably wrap this up. We still have next week. I don't mind postponing it until next week, but I would really like to have a vote on this next week.
Okay. Legislator Walter.
Can I just, so that for process, the one other issue I'm just going to state, and we could just talk about it next week, is just... with 4-5, being someone personally who has had a contract with this county or other counties, and all due respect to the attorneys in the Zoom, but sometimes contracts take a long time because attorneys are deciding over a T versus an I, and it can go over 30 days, and I would hate for an organization to be penalized because of that. So I'm just suggesting a consideration of maybe a little bit longer time period. And we could talk about it next time. I just wanna say that was the only other issue.
Legislator Bartels.
And I just want to raise two issues that have been brought up before but haven't been addressed. And the first is 3-1, the requirement that they be nonprofit or governmental agencies. I just want to understand why they can't potentially be for-profit. I cannot right now think of an example, but there may be examples of someone we might want or need to contract with that is for-profit. And my second kind of bigger overarching, which I raised in the very beginning, is that there is no definition of non-county. So when I first read this, it was very confusing to me. I thought initially that it was talking about out of county organizations. I understand now that we're talking about legislative, but it doesn't technically say legislative contracts. So the county has the county, the executive's office, and through the budget process, we have lots of non-county organizations. So I just want to come up with some kind of clarity in the policy in terms of that, that word. It probably could be solved with the definition. We can talk about that next week as well.
Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. What's that?
Are you making a motion to postpone?
I want a clarification on Tracy's, and I really need a clarification on Eve's as well. So just to Legislator Bartels, I'll try to come up with something. If you wouldn't mind putting some thought into how to do it, I would appreciate that as well, because I'm not quite even sure how to define it. That's how it came up to non-county organizations, because, you know, there has never been, the reason for the need of this policy is because this has been a back of the napkin process since I've been a legislator for all 13 years. So I think that it's going to be a challenge to come up with a distinction for it or a title for it. But I think that, you know, between the two of us and all of us, we can make that happen. So I think that's not a problem. Legislator Walter, can you just point me to where your 30-day concern is?
I thought you said
we're getting behind on a public hearing right now.
Okay, so we're going
to 4-5. Ken, it's 4-5.
Thank you.
Ken, would you like to make a motion to postpone?
I'll make a motion we postpone for 1 week until our next meeting.
And do I have a second?
I second it, Haynes.
Thank you.
Sorry, Ken, I didn't realize I'm muted.
Do I have a motion to adjourn so we can
move
go to
adjourn? Quite wrong.
Second.
All in favor? Oh, all in favor of the postponement. I'm sorry, I didn't get that. All in favor of the postponement? Great.
Aye.
Okay, and adjournment. Bye. Thank you, everyone.